Welcome back, everybody. It's Parshas Kedoshim, 5771. This is our first class back after Pesach. We just finished a few days earlier. And the last time we met was Mitzora. A lot of singles this year. I was not here for Tazria. I was here for Mitzora. And then we did not have class for Acharei Mos. So here we are, Kedoshim. Thank God we didn't miss that much with the Pesach break because there were a lot of single Parshas since it's a leap year. So here we are at Parshas Kedoshim. And I am just recalling that last year we were on a path of learning about Tefillah, and it were these weeks between Pesach and Shavuos that we got off on a detour. And we were talking all about Emunah, faith. So this time of year is sometimes you feel a certain charge after Pesach, preparing for Shavuos, and I don't have any such plans to take a detour per se, but I do feel that charge, and I look forward to the upcoming weeks with vigor. Of course, our path this year has been basics. We've been finding something basic to speak about each time with Hashem's help. I hope it's been basic, and I hope that you found it basic. Today, I think what we will call our class, The Basics of Holiness, Part 2. The name of the parsha is Kedoshim. Kedoshim means be holy. So to call it The Basics of Holiness is very natural. When we did Shemini, we really defined holiness. And I will refer you to the class on Shemini if you'd like to listen to Perry's CD. Please do so, or maybe on the website. I don't even know if the recent ones are there. But we are going to talk about holiness again from a different perspective. And let's begin on that note. Let me bring us back first to a personal journey. I'm going to be disclosing some personal information here, and I'm kind of glad that some of my sons are here, because it's the kind of thing, you know, you wonder as a parent, will you ever convey to your children just what it is that you have lived through and what your experiences are. You kind of hope that they'll get it, and you're not sure. So I'm going to do some of that today. This has to do with me and my mom. Okay? I'm not sitting on a psychiatrist couch here, don't worry. My mom, may she live and be well, is a wonderful lady. Agreed, boys?
Yes.
Grandma Betty.
I've met her.
Grandma Betty. Grandma Betty grew up in an Orthodox home. She was the daughter of hardworking parents. Her father was American-born. Her mother was born in Russia, or Latvia, one of those places. They were always observant, and they raised her, and she had, in those days, a wonderful and excellent Jewish education. She was also a college graduate. She majored in biology. She was a serious student of piano. She is all in all endowed with many, many virtues and many gifts, and has always been a pillar of Jewish spirituality in the home. I'll talk about my dad another time. He has an equally impressive background. My mother always contended, and I'm speaking, you know, personally, as she tried to guide my path religiously and otherwise, that Judaism is not a religion in which you separate yourself from worldly existence, but rather Judaism preaches to sanctify and to elevate the material world. Her implication was this. Don't spend your whole life sitting in a yeshiva and studying Torah. Make something of yourself. Develop your God-given talents. Become involved in the world. And by doing so, she was saying, you will fulfill the purpose of Jewish life. This was kind of her message, explicitly and by association. Now, when I grew older, after I passed through the stages, let's see, wanting to be a cowboy, then a paramedic, then a doctor, and then a musician, I went to yeshiva, and I was opened up to the world of Torah study. And at that time, I started to have misgivings about some of the things that Mom had told me. What I thought she was saying was, you know, this is nice, it's okay to spend a little time in yeshiva, but don't get too much entrenched in that. You need to become a professional or an artist of some sort and get out there into the real world and do what the Torah says. And I started to think, you know, I'm not sure if Mom is right. She's speaking about modernity, and you know, I go to the yeshiva, and they're preaching, and they have a different message. You know, stick with the ancient wisdom and Torah study, right? Have you heard this tune before?
Yeah.
Now, go ahead a few years. I was fortunate enough to be asked if I wanted to join the Kollel in Atlanta. I had already been in the yeshiva in Baltimore for some total of, I think, 6 years. Yeshiva, maybe 8 years. I had been in the Kollel. I was studying, you know, all day. And I really didn't know what I was going to do career-wise. Something, by that time, I wasn't going to be a doctor. I wasn't going to be a musician. I was going to be some type of rabbinic position. I didn't have my college degree, although I had taken courses. And then the opportunity to join the Atlanta Kollel came along. And after, you know, debates back and forth, my wife and I decided to come here. And what a great decision, what a great experience it has been, what a blessing. We're sitting in the yeshiva dining room, and there is a little going-away party. And the Rosh Yeshiva Rav Yaakov Weinberg, of blessed and saintly memory, gets up to speak. And this is his message. He says that there is a certain phase of religious life which calls upon abstinence, precious, from worldly involvement. And then there is a phase of Judaism, of Torah life, called Kedusha, holiness. He says, your stage as a yeshiva student, your stage of abstinence has been fulfilled in your years in the yeshiva. And now it is time for you to leave the yeshiva and to fulfill your stage of holiness. And your charge as you leave the yeshiva is to go out into the community of which you will be a part and teach and preach that Torah is a life of Kedusha, of holiness, which involves worldly living. Aha! You mean Mom was right, Rebbe? And I'm all confused now. Now, by the way, and he says, and don't stop studying Torah. Continue to study Torah. Continue to advance in Torah, because every little bit of Torah that you learn will make you a holier person, and you will be able to be that much more empowered in your holiness. So I'm really confused. It sounds like he's saying what Mom said, but Mom didn't really do the yeshiva thing. I mean, she did. Don't get me wrong. She had tremendous reverence. I forgot to mention, her grandfather was a European-trained Talmud Chacham. He was the real deal. He was trained in some of the finest ancient yeshivas, like Volozhin, which dates back to the beginning original yeshiva, founded by the student of the Vilna Gaon. And yet he was he came to this country and he became a rabbinic leader in the city in which she grew up, in Jersey City, New Jersey. So she had tremendous regard and respect for Torah study. But I'm really confused about this concept of holiness. I was still thinking that Mom was oversimplifying things. But yet, here's Rabbi Weinberg, who's imparting the message of move on from Precious and go into Kedusha. And yet, he continues adamantly that Torah study is the constant force in our life. So I'm still not sure. Is Rebbe right? Is Mom right? I'm still confused. It was only several years later, or actually probably a good deal later, and I started with you all, and we turned our attention very heavily to the Mesilas Yesharim. And the Path of the Just by Rabbi Luzzatto maps out, as you know, a real course of religious development from stage to stage. And would you know, it starts off with Torah and constant adherence to Torah study. And it goes through, and it says one leads to the next, one leads to the next. Torah leads to Zihirus, which is vigilance, the power to control oneself and to think first before acting. Zerizus, zeal, religious zeal. Nikius, cleanliness and precision in mitzvah observance. Precious, there we go, precious is abstinence again. Tahara, purity. Chasidus, piety, going beyond. Anava, humility. Yiras chet, fear of sin. And finally, what's the last one? Kedusha, holiness. Holiness is at the end. Torah is at the beginning. Holiness is at the end. So there is something to this, that the purpose of Torah is Kedusha. And what is Kedusha? Rabbi Luzzatto reminds us, or defines for us. In summation, holiness consists of one's cleaving to his God to such an extent that in his performance of any deed, be it a religious deed or a physical, a material, a worldly deed, he will neither detach himself nor stir from the Blessed One. As a result of this, the physical objects that he makes use of will become elevated by his use of them. Elevated, that's the word that Mom used to use. Elevate the world. But this depends on his constantly focusing his mind and intellect on the greatness, exaltedness, and holiness of the Blessed One. So, I'm thinking, yeah, in theory, that's the concept, but does that really mean that just because you're a doctor or a musician, so you're doing this? How do you know? Mom, still, you're taking this concept of Kedusha and you're saying, become a professional, then you'll be living a life of Kedusha. Who says? Maybe you'll be living a life of detachment from holiness. Just because you're in the world doesn't mean that you're elevating it. Okay, here comes the punchline, and I'm gonna ask my sons if they can concur with what I'm saying. I've been thinking a lot about my mom since those early days when I was young and immature. I believe that Grandma Betty, she's really right. Because she really lives by this too. She didn't take shortcuts. She understands. Grandma Betty lives with all of these virtues. Boys, vigilance, alacrity, cleanliness, abstinence, purity, piety, humility, fear of sin. When Mom says that the Torah says we need to elevate the physical, she really means it. She really does mean it. She's not jumping. true, no? 100%. So, what was really happening was that she was right. But she was way beyond me. And Rebbe was right. Of course, that's the goal. But you're going to have to work yourself up. And as a man, more so than a woman, you are only going to get there if you go through the steps. And you have to start and continue with Torah. You have to learn. You have to be involved in ongoing Talmud Torah, Torah study, as your lifeline. But is the goal Kedusha? Absolutely. Does there come a time when you are prepared enough that with ongoing support and ongoing community structure and colleagues and fellow students of Torah and a community which promotes and realizes the vitality of Torah study, that you can hope in a small measure, and it doesn't have to be on the level of Rabbi Luzzatto, it just has to be in this semblance, in our own way, in our own measure, that you can strive for Kedusha, and that you can go out into a community, as Rebbe said, and you can live a life involved with other people, involved with all kinds of people, and be outside of the walls of the Beis HaMedrash, and still continue to grow as a Torah student and as a promoter of Kedusha. Absolutely. And I didn't make it. I'm sorry, Mom, that I could not do all of that and still be the doctor or still be the musician and still be on the level that you are. But I get it. And you are 100% right, and Rebbe is right on there. What does this have to do with our class? Because when we open up the Torah, Parshas Kedoshim, this Torah, this Parsha is filled with all kinds of scenarios and all kinds of commandments. And they're not about Torah study. They're not about Karbanos. They're not about the realm of the Holy Temple. They're about life. And you look at it yourself. And Kedoshim is about life. And that's what it should be. Because Kedusha is about living. Kedusha is about being in the world and not being distracted or divorced or separated from attachment to God and His Torah. That is Kedoshim. The Ramban talks about Precious, because Precious is a necessary tool to reach Kedusha. Ramban says, don't get too involved in the material world. Be moderate. Don't just eat it just because it's kosher. Live a spiritual life. But Kedoshim is get involved in the world. The holy way. And just to single out a few areas, I think over the next couple of weeks, as we get to the, really to the climax of Vayikra, the book of Torah's Kohanim, we started off with Karbanos. That's for the realm of the holy. That's for the temple. But we don't live in the temple. The climax of Sefer Vayikra, the law of the priestly nation, is Kedoshim, is living in the world. Let me take four just little mitzvos in our Torah and see how. And they have nothing to do with formal sitting and learning. They're living mitzvos. For the next several weeks, let's focus on where is Kedusha. This is relevant to all of us. As we walk through a Jewish community, as we come to shul, as we see families celebrating Yom Tov, parents and children, and interactions between neighbors and friends of all different walks of life, this is Kedusha at its finest. We need to find it, we need to identify it, we need to promote it. In Parshas Kedoshim, I have just singled out four things. Let's just tell you what they are, and then we'll just spend a couple of minutes on them. In chapter 19, verse 3, page 656, 657, Ish imov aviv tirau, every man, your mother and father shall you revere. One of two of the mitzvahs in the Torah of we call honoring parents. Mm-hmm. There's kaved es avicha v'yesimecha, honor your father and your mother. That's in the Ten Commandments in Shemos. And then you have this one in Kedoshim, Ish imov aviv tirov. This is not a Torah study mitzvah. This is a life mitzvah. Every man, your mother and father shall you revere. That is a mitzvah for living. Older parents are to be revered. They're not to be discarded or thought of as over the hill. Parents are our link to God. And it doesn't matter if the parents are religious, more religious than you, less religious than you. It doesn't matter if they're nice to you. It's easier when they're nice to you. But the Torah says, revere your mother and your father. This is a mitzvah of holiness. Your parents are your link to God. And if you have a hard time with that, holiness means, as Rabbi Luzzatto says, you cling to God. Through your Torah study, you can get what's in God's mind and remember that. And God said, revere your parents. And let that form your worldview. Revere them, cherish them, spend time with them, even after they're gone. Continue to hold them as your link to God. That's I call a mitzvah of Kedoshim. How about marriage? Marriage is dealt with at the end of the parsha, really in kind of in a negative way. It says in chapter 20, verses 10 through 21, it lists all the different people that we may not marry. Many of them are incest, adultery, homosexuality. All of this are kind of the negative restrictions to protect and preserve proper, holy, Jewish marriage. That is holiness in its finest. Does that mean that every time you're married, therefore you're living in holiness? No. Marriage according to the Torah. Marriage according to the laws of family purity. I'm saying these are ideals. This is what we try to engender in marriage. Marriage can be the holiest. I mean, we talked about this at Chaya Sara, that marriage was something that God created to help a person develop into a godly person, to learn how to be a giver, to learn how to achieve closeness, love. These are the things that we need to ultimately develop towards God. We do it through marriage. Peace, cleaving, love and friendship, shalom, shlemus, harmony. That's holiness. That's not holiness that occurs when you are studying. It's holiness that occurs when you live. There is a series of mitzvos in the parasha, which is well known to everyone, in chapter 19, verses 15 to 18. Page 660 and 661. At least the ending verse is very well known. This outlines our relationship with other people, particularly with fellow Jews. Well, we have lots of mitzvos that are well known. With righteousness shall you judge your fellow. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Don't be a gossip monger. Lashon hara, rechilus, don't speak badly about one another. Don't stand aside while your fellow's blood is shed. Do not hate your brother in your heart. If you have a gripe, Settle it. Go to him. Confront him. Settle it. Don't take revenge. Don't bear a grudge. And of course, you shall love your fellow as yourself. This is holiness. This is Torah in living. You can't live and avoid this. This is where holiness is. We are brothers. We are sisters. These are not the values that we get from the street and from pervasive culture. This is what we get from our Torah. We have a community, a Jewish community, is like, I was talking to somebody on Yontif and we were reading about the splitting of the sea, and I turned to him and I said, and he's somebody that's, you know, out there and interacts with lots of people, Jews and non-Jews, and I say to him, how many people do you think believe that the sea was split by a miracle from God? He says, very small percentage, even among Jews. I said, so we're basically in a time warp here. We're sitting here in this little shul, you know, several hundred people, and this is basically an anomaly. He says, that's right. But what do we have here? We have an island of Kedusha. We have a place where people actually look at each other as brothers and sisters and love each other that way. We see each other as part of a whole. We're connected. You don't have to prove yourself to me. I love you because you are you, because you are a fellow brother and sister. I remember, listen to what Rabbi Volba says about this. Some people have an easy time being religious with man and God, but they have a hard time with man and man. Why do I become involved more readily with commandments between man and God? I have a deep inclination to religiosity. My desire is to draw near to God. By nature, I tend to remain alone rather than socialize. This is Rabbi Volba on Pathways, Introduction to Torah. A man should always get along well with people. Well, I'm remote from this. If this man always gives in to his nature and doesn't show any act of kindness to others, he may actually be harmful or evil to people under a camouflage of top quality tefillin and esrogim. He especially must dedicate himself to doing acts of kindness until he is totally at ease in associating agreeably with others. This is avodah in character qualities. We have to work on ourselves. Without this striving towards improving one's traits and ways, it is impossible to achieve perfection. It's hard work. But this is Kedusha. This is holiness. And the fourth example, which I would point to the Parsha, and there's many. Going back to that first verse that we started with, V'yes Shabbosai Tishmoru, and my Sabbath shall you observe. Shabbos. Shabbos, what a vehicle for Kedusha it is. Shabbos. Shabbos is a day unlike any other day. It is a day when we can actually transcend. It's not supposed to be a break. It's not supposed to be recess from life. It's supposed to be transcending our mundane existence to the level of achieving purpose of life. On Shabbos, we feel this is what we're striving for. This is a taste of what we are becoming. We feel exalted. We experience true pleasure, true joy, both spiritual and physical joy, unmitigated joy. And then when we have to restart the week again, we are energized to go to it with greater energy and greater vigor. Here we have four examples from the Parsha of Kedoshim. Parents, marriage, love of fellow Jew, Shabbos. They're not mitzvot, they're not experiences that involve study, they are experiences that involve living, but living with Kedusha. It's not easy to live with Kedusha. Living with Kedusha requires training. But this is what our Torah is setting us up for. This is where Torah's Kohanim, the law, the book, the central book, the crowning book of the Torah, this is where it's heading. This is where it's building. This is the crescendo. Mom was right. Torah life is about elevation, is about sanctity. In its ultimate, it's not about abstinence. It's not about pulling away. But Rebbe was right. We have to prepare ourselves. We do have to prepare ourselves through Torah study, through abstinence as a training measure in order to achieve Kedusha. But Kedusha is indeed the goal. So let us, I think, over the next couple of parshios, I think Emor teaches us about the holidays. Let's talk about holidays. Let's talk about the great Kedusha, the great influx of elevation that comes about with a lot of involvement in enjoying the world through Yom Tov, the different Yomim Tovim, how that adds Kedusha to our lives. And then we'll see what happens for the end of the book. Anyways, that's my inspired class for you today, coming out of the Yom Tov of Pesach. And thank you for listening and sharing it with me. And I look forward to continuing on this path. Please, questions and comments.
Yashar Koach, and I would imagine that your children were invited accidentally or on purpose.
They were invited by the lure of a corned beef sandwich. Now, I think that part was on purpose. And I think the other part, they listen as well.
In other words, say, Herzachan, my kid.
And my kid.
Listen up, kids.
Thank you.
I think they get it. They have the same Grandma Betty as I do.
When did you have your epiphany?
Which one?
The one you were talking about, Grandma Betty.
In other words, when did you realize that you're right?
When I was applying myself to this book, I was amazed that, you know, see, women are different. They don't go through the pedagogic process of learning that men do. She was never a bacher. She never opened up a Gemara. She doesn't know any of the book knowledge that I'm talking about. However, I remember going through the yeshiva system. I would come home and I would say a Devar Torah or something, and I would try to make a point. She was always one step ahead, and I couldn't understand it. Anyway, as I applied myself to this book, I was thinking, she really does this. Every single step. I just realized when she says, you know, Kedusha, she really means it. And I realized that I just wasn't up to the task.
Mm.
It was gradual. But this, reading this book as an adult, I think gave me that appreciation. Yes?
It occurs to me that Mother's Day...
I should send this to her.
Yes.
Maybe I'll do that. Okay, but then I have to do another class on Father's Day in June for Dad. Because I could give a whole class. Maybe when we talk about the tribes, I'll do a class on Dad. How's that? Dr. Schultz.
All the wonderful attributes that you described of your mother and of your wisdom, can they not be ascribed to, I think the word is...
Bina. Yes.
Women are supposed to have...
Understanding.
An innate wisdom,
innate sense.
Men don't have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that not true?
Yes, it is true. It is true.
Yeah.
And you're perhaps ascribing this to...
Bina.
To that, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely that's how she could get it without the pedagogical system.
Yeah,
yeah, very good. I appreciate that. That's a good insight.
Yeah.
That's a good insight. I also, you see, maybe my boys can offer some insight on that. I believe, since Rabbi Luzzatto says it does ultimately originate, and our Rebbeim and our teachers tell us that it originates with serious Torah study, I believe that a woman can absorb and imbibe the effects of Torah study vicariously if they have an association with Torah scholars. See, I believe that as a girl of 10 and 11 and 12, which is how old she was when her grandfather passed away, and she was very close with him, and she would come and sit on his lap, I believe... with her Bina, she was able to imbibe and absorb some of the true Torah ingredients through that. I don't know if any woman, even a great woman, will necessarily intuit all of these virtues. Mm-hmm. That's what I would like to believe. What do you think?
Yeah, but also supporting you or her sons in learning in yeshiva, so you also add to another ingredient.
Right, right. I mean, she always wanted us to study. She wanted us to be in yeshiva. She wasn't telling us to run away. She was telling us to go beyond, transcend. She was trying to say, don't be stuck in precious. Don't stay in abstinence. Move on. Get to Kedusha. And yes, and she understood that that was the process. She understood that you have to have that education. You have to have that Torah study. Whenever we went to yeshiva, she wanted to meet our rebbeim. She wanted to meet them. She wanted to see them. Because that's how she connected. She remembered from her grandfather. And she wanted to see those models who were making their impression. And to this day, each one, she has Kanai Nahar, my parents are blessed with four children. Each one is either a long-term yeshiva student or married to a long-term yeshiva student. So I believe that my parents knew that. Even though my father was not a long-term yeshiva student, he had the education, he didn't stay. But he prepared himself for a secular career. We'll talk about Dad another time. Yeah.
If you don't take this, if you don't study this and take this out into the world, you're not elevating.
Right.
I mean, when you That's take this out into the world, you're elevating. If you take this and just sit here and you're lonesome self,
yeah,
you're elevating yourself, but that's yeah. not doing anything for the world.
So you just said both sides. And that was my gripe with Mom, because Mom made it sound like if you go out there and be, you know, become a musician or a doctor, you're just going to do this. And I was saying, no, Mom, I'm not. If I go now and become a doctor, I'm just going to become, I love doctors, but I'm not going to do what you think. What you're saying is going to happen, I don't think it's going to happen. And I think that's right. I think that's right. Just because you're living out in the world doesn't make you holy. And conversely, as you're pointing out, if you just kind of get into the Prisha mode, into the abstinence mode, and stay there, you're also not going to move on to Kedusha. That has to be your goal. That has to be your aspiration. There's no time limit. It's different for every person. You know, well, how many years? You know, everyone, how long are you going to study? I don't know. When we were in yeshiva, we didn't know. It's too abstract. Spirituality is not going to, how many years till you get your degree? Mom, there's no degrees, you know. Are you getting smicha? I don't know. It doesn't work that way. So that's the part that I thought she didn't get. And she's not a man. But she understood it all. She understood it all.
The question is, how do you determine when you're going to leave the yeshiva?
For that, you need to have a rebbe. You need to have a rebbe, and either you ask him or he tells you. You need to have a rebbe. And not just for that question. If that's the only question you ask your rebbe, you're in trouble. You have to ask your rebbe a question all along the way. And you could have more than one rebbe, more than one mentor, as most today do. And you got to keep in touch with them even when you leave. Yeah. Wendy.
All right, so speaking firsthand, my sense is that the feminine, we're born with it in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And the Torah itself, am I correct, is a feminine gender?
Okay.
So maybe perhaps from a male vantage point, it takes the more intellectualizing and the mental, mm-hmm. which eventually moves to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It goes through a process.
Mm-hmm.
The process was already imbued
mm-hmm.
within us.
Mm-hmm.
We have that sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
The emotion
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
the key here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're definitely constructed differently
mm-hmm.
in that regard. And to me, the term of axing the back of the neck of the donkey means that we have to stay away from that which is going to pull us down
mm-hmm.
in this world
mm-hmm.
and detach so that we can stay rooted
mm-hmm.
in a Torah life
mm-hmm.
and whomever can see this about us being the example and his representative move in this direction rather than us losing our footing
mm-hmm.
and falling onto the other side of the fence. We have to maintain our stature, our posture over here.
Very good. Very good. Well,
you think
taken.
That women are more outgoing and more giving, and men are more selfish, and all they do is think about their own gratification, whereas women want to give.
They are nurturers. They nurture
me,
children.
To me, it's you're generalized. Okay, you're
generalized.
Yeah.
Because it depends
yeah.
on the individual. It depends on our environment yeah. and everything else.
Yeah.
We definitely constructed differently in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know how to answer that question. I think, and God also is moving through us in this world. Where when he wants us to get it, we get it. And we have certain experiences that will make us more vulnerable and softer maybe to be able to be more compassionate and to feel a calling or something in a different direction.
Right for women.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.